Beloved congregation in the Lord Jesus Christ, Thanksgiving is over. The family, the festivities, the gathering, and all the eating and the watching of the football game and all the other things that go on during the Thanksgiving day. And we move on, and we move on to something next. We're looking forward now to the Christmas season. Past that Thanksgiving thing, and now we move on and we think about the birth of Christ. And that's where we go wrong with regards to Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is not a day on the calendar for the believer. Thanksgiving is that which we do all our life long as those who have been redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been redeemed for the purpose of giving thanks and praise to His holy name. Thanksgiving is an attitude of life. It's too often thought of just as a particular day that we celebrate. And we celebrate the wrong things. Historically, the celebration of Thanksgiving was that when they reached the shores, the pilgrims, they knelt down and gave thanks to Almighty God for their safety, for His provision of them. It wasn't about all the just simply eating turkey and mashed potatoes and family and football. There's nothing in and of themselves wrong with that. But we need to recognize something. Historically, the purpose was to thank Almighty God. That's why we gather together on Thanksgiving Day. Not that it's the only day we give thanks, but particularly to give Him thanksgiving and honor and glory and praise for all that He has done for us. Beloved, we have so much. God has supplied us richly and abundantly all things necessary for life and for godliness. And how is our thanksgiving? You know, to be an unthankful heart is to be an unbeliever. If you're a Christian and you're not a thankful person, you are acting like an unbeliever. That's what Paul says in Romans 1. The unbeliever is unthankful. He does not give God thanks. But the essence at the heart of the Christian faith is a thankful heart of gratitude to God for His wondrous blessing. We are to be a people that thanks God in everything. Ephesians 5. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5, for everything we are to give thanks. So for everything and in everything, our life is to be about giving thanks and praise and honor and glory to the one true and living God. And if we were filled with the Word, as Paul writes in Colossians 3, that if the Word of Christ was dwelling in us richly, with all wisdom, we would teach and admonish one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and we would sing with thanksgiving in our hearts unto the Lord. That's the Christian calling. That's the Christian life. That's how we are to live our lives as the people of God. And it's not dependent upon your particular situation, your circumstances. We understand that from Habakkuk 3. If the crops don't come in, if there is no animals in the stall, nevertheless, we will give thanks and praise to You, O God. It's not dependent upon your circumstances. It's simply a work of the Spirit in the heart, causing us to be a people that gives praise to the one true and living God. Praise is that which is motivated by the work of God in our heart, redeeming us from the guilt of our sin, by His grace, to live a life of gratitude. We say that, don't we? We love that breakdown in the Heidelberg Catechism of guilt, grace, and gratitude. So often I see people stop at the grace. I want to hear all about the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, but don't tell me I have to do things. Beloved, you are redeemed to do things. You were redeemed to do good works. You were redeemed to sing praise to the one true and living God. That is your redemption. It's not simply that God saved you and you go about your merry way doing your own thing. You are a slave of Jesus Christ. You've been bought and paid for by His blood. Not with silver or gold, but with His precious blood. that you might be a worshiper of the true and the living God. Grace delivers and produces in us a desire for duty, a desire to dedicate our lives to Him. And so let me ask you this evening, is your thanksgiving to God heard in heaven? Is it heard among the saints? Is it heard among the unbelieving world in which we live? Is your thanksgiving to God heard among all those that you walk about? It ought to be. When you go to the restaurant and you eat your meal, do you bow your head and give thanks? Or are you embarrassed by thanking the one true and living God who holds your breath in His hands? It doesn't matter what people think. We are to live to the glory of His name and giving thanks to His name. Notice our text this evening. Writer of the Hebrews says, through Him, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of our lips that acknowledge His name. That's the first point. Is offering praise to God. Now, how do you do that? You can only offer praise to God by faith. All those who come to God must believe that He is, and He's the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And we cannot approach to Him apart from faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is how we come. We come in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the example of how we are to approach to God and how we are to live our lives is found embodied in the person of Jesus Christ Himself. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith, and we are to be looking unto Jesus, who is that, does that work for us, has done that work for us. And lest we grow weary and grow discouraged in our souls by taking our eyes off Christ, He's the one who encourages us how to be those that praise the true and living God. Now, the writer of the Hebrews says that through Him, it's important to understand, praise is offered to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. It can only ever be offered to God through Jesus Christ, because He is the way to the Father. It's exclusive. It's not all inclusive. It is exclusive. Only those who are the redeemed can give genuine, heartfelt, God-glorifying praise. Only those who come to Jesus Christ by faith can offer an acceptable worship unto God. That's what we're doing this evening. We gather this evening to worship God. We didn't come to criticize one another. We didn't come to point out one another's faults. You could find lots of them with me. But that's not why we gather. That's not why we come. We come to honor Him. We don't come to murmur about the climate within the building. It's too hot. It's too cold. The parking lot's this. The parking lot's that. Over here. And she does this. And he does that. We don't come for those reasons, beloved. We come to offer praise, the sacrifice of our lips, giving thanks to His holy name. That's how we come. And we come through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only through Him. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Only one way. The world teaches many ways to come to God, and the Scriptures teach only one way, and His name is Jesus. And if you don't come by Him, you're cast out for all eternity. Notice this, Romans 5, we are saved from wrath through the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8:37, we are more than conquerors through Him, Jesus, who loved us. Ephesians 2:18, we have access to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter, we find that we believe in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We see in the writer of the Acts in chapter 4, this is what he writes, there is no other name given under heaven by which we must be saved but the name of Jesus. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 2, there is one mediator, Notice that? One. And His name is Jesus. One mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. No other way to approach to God. And so when we come to worship, it's through Him that we come. It's important to understand. We come to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The writer to the Hebrews says, let us continually, present tense, one word actually in the Greek, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. You find that continually in the Psalms, don't you? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, who redeems your life from destruction, who pulls you out of that miry pit. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Psalm 103, Psalm 105, Psalm 42. It's always a blessing and a praise to the God who has redeemed us. And we are to do that continually. That is our work as prophets, priests, and kings of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's very similar to the offerings that were given in the Old Covenant. The Old Covenant, the priests continually, day by day, were offering sacrifices. And you know, there was no chair that was alongside of the priest to do his duty. Why? Because he never sat down. He was continually offering sacrifices to God. Now, the true worshipers were not looking at the sacrifices. They were simply representing, they were foreshadowing the work of the Lamb of God who would come to redeem His people. But the point is that they continually offered these sacrifices. And so it is with us. Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Your act of spiritual worship, it says. Not being conformed to the ways of this world, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is the good and perfect and acceptable will of God. That's your life, beloved. You were redeemed for that purpose. You were called out of darkness into the marvelous light in Jesus Christ, that you would reflect the light of Christ in your life. The Heidelberg Catechism, question 86, makes this statement, that by your godly walk, that you might also win others to Jesus Christ. Have you ever had anybody say to you that they inquired about the Christian faith, that they come to faith in Jesus Christ because they observed a godly walk in your life? And you think about Joseph. When he was before the Pharaoh, Pharaoh makes this declaration. There is nobody as wise as Joseph in all of the kingdom in whom the Spirit of God dwells. Pharaoh learned his lesson, didn't he? You know, it wasn't some generic. It was the Spirit of the God that Joseph worshipped dwelt in him and gave him understanding. And therefore, the life of the believer is to be a non-stop sacrifice of praise to the one true and living God. Now, let's go back to your Thanksgiving Day gathering. How much thanks was offered in your gathering to the true and living God? How much praise was offered to Him? This is what the writer of the Hebrews is saying here. Continually offer up a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips. Acknowledging His name. How do I acknowledge His name? It's in Him that I live and move and have my being. It's God who gives me the strength to get wealth. That all that I have comes from Him. The Apostle Paul says, what do you have that you haven't received? If you have received it, why do you boast as if you have not received it? Daniel 5, we read of that the Spirit of God is the one who holds our breath in His very hand. You're breathing here this evening, beloved. Because it's God who has given you breath. And He has not given you breath to murmur and to complain and to gossip and to slander and to backbite. He's given you breath and a redeemed heart to sing His praise. He's put a new song in our heart, praise to our God. How are we exercising this? How are we being faithful in our praise to God? With the fruit of our lips, how are we continually offering this up to the Lord? If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, page 1294 in the Pew Bible. And I want you to hear what and see what the Apostle Peter writes regarding the people of God. Look at verse 4. As you come to Him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house. Notice this. You yourselves. This is the people of God, the redeemed. You are being built up as a spiritual house. A holy priesthood. For what purpose? To offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Beloved, that's your life. That's why you're redeemed. That's why you're brought together as one people. A spiritual house that offers spiritual sacrifices continually to the Lord our God. Look at verse 9. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession. For what purpose? That you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Does that get the point home right there in spiritual sacrifice unto the Lord? Singing to His name. Giving Him honor and glory for the redemption of your soul. Giving Him praise for all the supply that He's given to us. Do we recognize that all the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places are ours in Jesus Christ? 2 Peter tells us that everything that is necessary for life and godliness has been granted to us by our Lord Jesus Christ. Everything. We are co-heirs with Jesus Christ. We are members of the household of faith. We are those that inherit all things in Jesus Christ. And then we are to be a people of praise. You meditate on the fact that you were on the broad road that leads to destruction, dead in your trespasses and sins, a hater of God, going your own way, doing your own thing, saying in your heart, I will not have this man to rule over me. And He came and rescued you. He came and regenerated your soul. He gave you new life. He pulled the mud out of your eyes spiritually and gave you eyes to see and ears to hear and a mouth to give Him praise. So often, I think, in the life of the believer, we can be like the 9 lepers. 10 were healed. And one comes back to give glory to God. How are your crops this year if you farm? How's the cattle in the stalls? How's your bank account? How's your possessions? How's your spiritual growth? Give God praise. He's the one who has provided for you. And this is not something that's subject to our condition or our circumstances. Let me give you another example. Job. Job was a man who was greatly blessed of the Lord. He was the richest man of the East. He had all kinds of animals, livestock, servants. He had a number of children. All kinds of servants. He was greatly blessed. The Lord greatly blessed him. Thinking about that, it's even said by Satan to the Lord, "You put a hedge around Job. I can't get at him." So the Lord tells Satan, "He's all yours. Don't put your finger on this man, but everything he has is in your power." And he went out and immediately wiped out all of his livestock, and he had four servants who were left to come back and to tell Job one after another what had happened. And then his family died, all of his children, and he has a wife that now comes and says to him, "Curse God and die." He shaves his head, he tears his robe, he falls down onto the ground and to worship the Lord. His wife comes and says, "Why don't you just curse God and be done with this?" Job makes this statement. He says, "Shall we receive good at the hands of the Lord, and shall we not receive evil also? The Lord gave, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Did you hear that? Blessed be the name of the Lord. And a man who is knocked to the earth with the death of all of his children and all of his, most of all of his servants and all of his livestock gone. And yet he worships God. That's to be the life of the believer. Jesus, when he broke the loaves and took the fish, he lifted up his voice to heaven and he says, "I thank thee, Father." Regarding the hiding of the gospel from the Pharisees, the Lord Jesus said, "I thank thee, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you've hidden these things from the wise and the prudent, and you've revealed them unto babes." Before the Lord's Supper, the Lord broke the bread and he gave thanks to God. When he passed out the wine and he told them, "This is my blood," he gave thanks to God for his provision for them. Remember when Jesus was at the tomb of Lazarus? Remember what he said? "I thank you, Father, that you always hear me." Beloved, how awesome is this? The God who holds the entire galaxy together hears our prayers. Can we learn an example from the Lord Jesus Christ? I thank you, Father, that you hear me. Me, who am least than nothing, who deserve least than the least of what you give. Jacob said, I'm not deserving the least of your truth. And you have revealed these things to me. Well, our thanksgiving, beloved, our praise and acknowledging his name, will it not be heard among our friends and neighbors in the gathering as we come to worship him? Continually acknowledging his name. We have a whole world that eclipses the name of God, drags the name of God through all kinds of debauchery, uses his name as a household swear word. The Heidelberg Catechism tells us God's name is only to be used in fear and reverence. That's how we take his name upon our lips. Continually acknowledging his name. The grace of God, the goodness of God, the providence of God, the sustaining of God, the illumination of God, the provision of God, the preservation of God, the increase of God. All of this, beloved, is acknowledging his name, is giving him praise. You kneel down beside your bed tonight and you give thanks to God that he redeemed your soul. You teach your children. You parents in here who have young kids, you teach your children. You vowed to teach your children. Are your children knowing that you are one who acknowledges God's name? Are they learning how to worship from you? Are they learning how to give thanks to God? To praise his holy name through you? This is what the writer of the Hebrews says, continually offering. And notice what he says in verse 16. If we're going to offer these sacrifices to the Lord, we're also going to be a people who do good to others. He says in verse 16, do not neglect to do good. You need to remember to do good. You should not be one who is withholding good when it is due an individual. I need to tell you this. This so sticks into my soul. There was a man, a Chinese man. He was a Christian man. And he was in China. And he was a rice farmer. And his rice field was higher than some of the other neighbors. And so you could see how they were like in plateaus and how they worked their way down. Now, rice is that which is grown underwater. And so for this man to get water into his fields, to keep that water there every single day, he had to pump with a hand pump. He had to draw water from the river up the hill into his field, filling his field. He came out to his field day after day to find it completely depleted of water, only to see all of the water in his neighbor's field. And this went on for 2 or 3, 4 days, and he was at wit's end. He didn't know what to do, so he gathered together with other Christians, and he asked for some counsel about how he should approach this. And one man said, if you only do what is right, what are you doing more than others? That stuck in that man's mind. And the next day, he got up earlier than usual. He went out to his field. He found where the neighbor had poked a hole in his wall so that the water would drain. He repaired that hole. And then he proceeded to draw water for his neighbor's field. And then in the heat of the afternoon, he drew water for his own field. And he did this day after day. And his unbelieving neighbor was so grieved and so moved by this doing good from this other man that he came to him and he asked him what this was all about. Why would he do such a thing? And he opened up the gospel and he said, because of Jesus. Doing good to others. Even your enemies, Jesus said, we are to do good unto. How many times, you know, to my embarrassment, I'll tell you, to my shame, I probably would not have handled it the way that man did. I probably would have confronted that man. And to my shame, as Jesus said, if you love those who love you, what more than others do you do? But if you love your enemies and you go beyond loving those who love you, your reward is great in heaven and your Father is multiplying in glory in your life. That could not happen apart from the ministry of the Spirit, could it? How often do we turn a blind eye at doing good when it's in our power to do it? I'm too busy. I got something else to do. I can't help. Oh, I wish I had the time. And we got excuses, excuses, excuses. And we vow and we promise. And when somebody calls on us, I don't remember that. The writer of the Hebrews tells us, don't neglect to do good. And good is defined by the Word of God. Not by our feelings or our emotions, but the teaching of Scripture. This defines what is good. We are to be kind. We are to be loving. We are to be gentle. We are, notice, to be giving, share. How well are you at sharing the possessions that God has given you? You know, it's a principle that when God blesses you, you are then to use that to bless others, that God will continue to bless you, that you might continually be a vehicle, a vessel of His blessing others. You have what you have, beloved, to glorify God in the use of ministering to others. Not to hoard. Go to your closet and look in their closet. You ladies, how many clothes do you think in your closet you haven't seen in the last year? Yeah, we know people that are in need. And the writer of the Hebrews, the admonishment right here is to share what you have. Share. Jesus shares. And Jesus shares with us. The poverty-stricken people of the world. He shares His wealth with us. He gives us of His wealth. Not of His poverty, of His wealth He gives to us. In all things richly to enjoy, the Lord Jesus Christ gives to us. And we are the disciples of Christ, and we are seen as the disciples of Christ by the love that we have for one another. And love is a commitment. Love does good. Love shares. How's your love life? How's your love life to other members of the congregation? The widows in the congregation, are they cared for? Are you sharing with them? For such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Pleasing to God. Isn't it a joy? Isn't it the desire of our life to please God in what we do? It begins in the mind. So we need to cultivate in the mind the Word of God. It needs to, that which transforms our thinking. That as it transforms our thinking, we then move out from here and to do good and to share. Offering thanksgiving and praise to God. And I'll tell you, when we do give to one another, when we do share, it's a sacrifice, an aroma, sweet smelling to our God that ascends to His nostrils, and then in return, many thanksgivings are brought to God through those who receive. Praising God in our worship, this is what we have been called for. Don't neglect it. Do not neglect sharing and caring and doing good for others who are in need. Beloved, remember, what do you have that you haven't received? And you offer a spiritual sacrifice of praise to God, the fruit of your lips, giving praise to His name, acknowledging His provision for you, and then the joy and the love of sharing and doing good to others. That's the call this evening from the writer to the Hebrews, in these two specific verses. Be a praying, prayerful, thanksgiving person. And then reach out tangibly. And care for others by providing for their needs. That is loving your neighbor as yourself. Amen. Shall we pray?